Welcome to the Sageness Podcast, Kings and Queens. I'm your host. My name is Leilani. For today's minisode, we are going to be talking about worry. And I'm going to start it off with this quote. And this quote is by J.K. Rowling. And the quote reads, "Worry means you suffer twice." So, I kind of want to dedicate this episode, this mini-sode, to mothers out there, right? And you guys already know what I am talking about. And it's not that fathers don't worry. I am not saying that at all. But I know as a mother, I worry a lot more than my husband does about a lot of things. And one thing I had to learn, and I actually learned it from my husband, is that I could not live my life worrying about everything that was going on around me, what should, would, could happen, and that I would have to, at some point in my life, enjoy it, right? And I struggled with that a lot. And my husband realized I struggled with it. And I know he struggled with me struggling with it because it did a lot of negative things in our marriage, in our relationship with our children. And I've since learned that it does not benefit anyone in the household when we as mothers worry to the magnitude sometimes. And I may worry more than most mothers. I don't know, you mothers tell me. I've talked to other mothers and they've had the same thing. They worry, right? And the truth of it all is when we worry, it stills our present. I talked about this in another episode, and I had a quote that talked about like living in the present, and if you were worried, you were living in the future. And one of the things like I realize is worrying stills our gift, our the present moment, our gift that's given to us. You know, if you are given the gift of a new day, why allow it to be stolen by something that hasn't even happened yet or that's already happened and you're worried about, I don't know, the repercussions of whatever could happen because of what happened? Like, there's so many avenues to travel down when it comes to worry, right? But why allow that to steal the moments that you're in? Why allow that worry to steal your gift, which is your present moment in time? Some of us, myself included, have allowed worry to steal years of our lives, to steal relationships. And these relationships were stolen, damaged, not lived to the fullest because of the worry, right? I think as a mother, one of my biggest regrets is how I raised my three older boys. In the beginning, I was raising my kids off of fear and worry. My poor first three, like they had to deal with so much crap. It's, you know, I wasn't a bad parent, but I had just so much emotional baggage within myself. And when we have that emotional baggage, what do we do? We aren't really realizing it, but we are kind of displaying it to our kids and in turn teaching them those things. And so with my three oldest boys, like I said before, I allowed that worry and that fear to steal time with them. I parented them off of what could have happened. Like, you know, I would think about, oh, if I don't teach my kids X, Y, and Z, they're going to grow up and have these difficult times, when I could have just, you know, not made that the focal point of my parenting. And by the time I realized all this, my 23-year-old was already grown, you know, and because it just took me a while to really figure it out, but he was already grown. And right now I have my 17 or my 14-year-old who's still in the household. So I kind of see the things that I've instilled earlier on in how they function now because of my worry, my fears of what could happen when they get older. The avenues they could go down, like, will they get into drugs? Will they, you know, just a number of things that I would worry about as a mother for my boys. And I just turned into this crazy mom that was always like strict, always telling them they couldn't do things. I didn't want them to do things because I didn't want to be worried about them if they went somewhere that I necessarily wasn't comfortable with. I just didn't let them live because I was so worried. I was so fearful of the things that could have happened. And I had to like tell myself, and I still do this today, that regardless of how the unfortunate truth of it all is, regardless of how much we protect our children, they're still going to make their choices, right? And they're still, when they get older, going to make their decisions. And some of the things I worried about, and I raised them off of that fear and that worry, has happened. And so like the quote says, I suffered twice, you know, because I worried about it this whole time or years or however. And then when they become adults or when they get older and those things that I worried about that might happen to them has happened. Thank God it hasn't been anything drastic, but it has been things that I've worried about. And I realized like, yeah, it happened anyways. And I spent all these years worrying about it instead of just living my life, raising my kids and teaching them, you know, how to be emotionally stable and how, and really teaching them that, yeah, you're gonna fail. Because I think the biggest thing that I was trying to prevent them from doing is failing, not realizing that when they fail, that is when they grow. I didn't realize that. I mean, I feel like we look at failure so negatively, and it can be a negative thing, but that's when we grow, you know. And I did so much preventing my kids from failing that I didn't let them grow the way they should have. So then now here they are, teenagers, and one's an adult. He's struggling with certain things and not understanding that that failure was okay because I instilled in them the worry if they fail instead of instilling in them that, yes, it is okay to fail and you move forward and you pick yourself up off the ground and keep moving forward and learn from those failures. I cope now by, because I still have worries. We all do, right? Worries are never going to go away. But how we deal with them defines whether or not it interferes in our life. And I cope with worry by shifting my worry to mindfulness, to remembering I have to be mindful. Yes, I have these worries still about my kids. I have I have my three older boys. I have a big gap between those years. And then I have a younger boy and my youngest is my daughter. And so my youngest boy, I still have those worries for him. I still have those worries for my 17-year-old who hasn't gone out into this world. I mean, he's a senior now, so he's going to go out into this world and have to explore. And yes, he'll fail. And I'm at that point where I have to say to him, like, get him to understand, yeah, it's okay to fail. It's okay to not have a plan. It's okay to figure things out when all this time as parent, you know, when the first decade of his life, I was teaching him that, no, you have to prevent failure. You have to prevent making mistakes. And the simple truth is that's impossible to do because if you're not making mistakes, you're not learning. And it took me so long to understand that. And it took me so long to really get to a place where I was backtracking and teaching my kids that. But instead of worrying now and being consumed by it, I do what I call being mindful. I bring mindfulness to, you know, I'm mindful of what I'm worried about. And I still have those worries. Like I said, the worries I had with my 23-year-old, I still have worries with him. And then the 17-year-old's now going to be, you know, he's going to be 18 soon. He's graduating from high school. All these changes are taking place. I'm still going to have worries for him. And then my 14-year-old, like one of the most ridiculous worries is like my 14-year-old's going to be in school by himself because my 17-year-old is a senior this year. And it's like, why do I have those worries? You know, it's, and some worries are like, sometimes I feel like when I look back on it, the worries I've had before and how I function now, I'm like the worries I had were just, some of them were really ridiculous to say the least. Like they were super ridiculous. And I look back and I look at the things that my husband would say to me and I'm like, this poor man, like he had to deal with this crazy person for so long because I just didn't get it. I didn't get what he got. I didn't understand what he understood. And I understand a lot more now. And, you know, naturally our relationship has blossomed and grown and went in a better direction. But I just didn't understand those things. And, you know, we, like I said, we're always going to worry. We just have to learn to not be consumed by it. We have to learn to not allow that worry to affect our relationships, to affect our time, to affect our days, our months, our years. At some point, we have to just be mindful about what we're worried about and be preventative, but not be over preventative, not be afraid that, okay, you know, my son might not be able to do this or get this job or accomplish this in his life unless he understands X, Y, and Z. It is okay if they don't understand it. It is okay if they don't have a plan. It is okay if they fail because they will grow and learn from those things, right? Because as a child, I never learned from my parents telling me to do stuff. You know, hindsight 2020, I didn't learn until I actually failed and remembered, you know, my parent told me, my mom or dad told me this would happen. You know, like I didn't really truly get the message until I went through that. And some people, like this is a conversation me and my husband always have. Some people can learn, be counseled and take the advice. And there's other people like me who are more stubborn and have to go through it. And then when they go through it, it clicks and you think like, yeah, my parents told me that this would happen. And so as parents, like the biggest advice, anyone who has young children, the biggest advice I can give you is just to not worry so much, to live your life and enjoy your children, because pretty soon you'll turn around and they'll be 23 years old, you know, having their own life, having their own families. And then you'll be like, where'd the time go? I spent so much of my time just worrying about what? My son, he's 23. He's a good kid. He's still safe. He's happy. He's, you know what I mean? And that's really what matters. So what if he fails at certain things? So what if he tells me one day, like, you know, I don't know, he decides that he doesn't want to pursue whatever it is he said he wanted to pursue. Like, so what? That's not really the important thing. The important thing is that he's emotionally happy and well, you know, and that's really what I focus on now with my kids, is that they're emotionally stable, emotionally happy, and that they are well, healthy, and okay, so that they can live their life and they can live a full life, you know? One of the things I struggled with, like even with my daughter, and I started to notice, I started getting back to my state of worry with her, is because of the pandemic, her first 2 years of school, kinder and first grade, she was homeschooled. So now halfway through first grade, we throw her into school and the school expects her to know all these things and they want to hold her back. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to hold her back because I have to give her a chance to do what it is she needs to do. But then I really started realizing that maybe I should hold her back. Maybe I should let her fail. And it's not even failure. It's, you know, let her go through that trial and maybe it'll be beneficial for her. But I spent so much time trying to protect her from that I end up, like, the worst time that we have, her and I, is homework, because I want her to succeed so badly. I stress over her homework. And then when I stress, I sometimes end up yelling at her. Sometimes I end up getting frustrated and just like, and she can read it in my face. She can read it in my body language. So when she's doing something that I feel like she should understand and she does it wrong, I get so defeated, and then she gets defeated. You know what I mean? And so I'm at a place right now with my daughter where I have to learn to stop worrying so much. If she gets held back, if we decide to hold her back for her benefit, so what? It's okay. You know what I mean? Like, why do we as parents look at it so negatively? But and let me tell you, it's a struggle. I struggle with that. I don't want to hold her back. But at the end of the day, I have to sit and think what's best for her. And I actually had this conversation with my husband the other day surrounding her, saying like, yeah, maybe it's best that we hold her back, because I don't want her to feel like every time she goes to school, she's going to struggle. And that is going to damage her, her will and her want to do things. Because when she does schoolwork on her own and out of, you know, excitement, saying, Mom, I finished this, she flourishes. She understands everything. But when I'm like trying to help her because she doesn't understand something, it's a disaster zone. And it's because of my worry. It is, I am subconsciously in my actions, in my body language, you know, reflecting it to her, and it makes her defeated. And then we're both defeated. And then I'm like, you know what? Forget it. Like, will just, you know what I mean? I just get so negative about it. And so I am currently going through that struggle with my daughter. And I am at a place now where I realize, and this is kind of what prompted this episode, where I realize, like, I have to stop worrying about it. I just have to help her as much as I can help her, because Lord knows I don't have enough time. And that's another thing. Like, I don't have that much time. I work, she goes to school. By the time I get off of work, we get home, it's like 6 o'clock. Her bedtime's 8:30. Like, we literally have 2.5 hours to get dinner, showers, and do homework. And it's so defeating sometimes. But I'm at a place where I really have to do a lot of self-talk. I have to make it a practice to just be patient with her, go at her pace, let her learn. If we end up deciding to hold her back, it is what it is. It's okay. It'll be okay. When she turns 17, none of this will even matter, because we'll have other worries, right? So we'll have different worries. So what's the point of sitting here and struggling with it and worrying about it? And then, I don't know, what if she does well and she doesn't get held back? All that worry was for nothing. And if she does get held back, well, then I suffer twice, right? Like the quote says, I suffer because I'm worrying about her getting held back. And then when she actually gets held back, I'm going to have to deal with those emotions, however I deal with them. But at this point, I'm just really having to sit down and talk to myself and say, okay, it is okay. Like, if she doesn't get it, just talk her through it, have patience, deal with it, and move on from there. So before I close, I want to give you two definitions of the word worry. The first definition is give way to anxiety or unease, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. The second one is a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. When I read that definition, I started thinking to myself, like, worry is a form of anxiety. Worry could be a form of depression. And, you know, I talked about in other episodes how for the longest time, I didn't realize all the emotional issues that I had until I still really started going on this journey of just putting myself first, taking care of myself, my mental health, my physical health, and just my well-being overall. And I really didn't realize, like, how much emotional baggage, how much I was in a state of depression, because of worrying, because of fear, because of many things. And so when I read that definition, I kind of, like, a light bulb kind of clicked. Like, I lived all my life being anxious, being uneasy, almost depressed, because I was just a different person. Like, I was just this ghost of a person, because I was not living in the present. I was not living an abundant life. I was not being happy. I was not loving myself and loving the people around me. I was just moving through life worrying, moving through life in fear, moving through life with just in the most difficult way you could possibly move through life. You know what I mean? And that is not a life by any means. And let me tell you, like, the difference between who I was even 2 years ago to who I am now is massive. And if you do nothing else in your life, if you do nothing else before we're in November and it's about to be the end of the year. If you do nothing else before the end of this year, I challenge you, kings and queens, to just take strides in working on your mental health, working on just things that tie you down, all the negative things in your life. And I challenge you to just not worry. You know what I mean? Be mindful. Mindfulness is the key, but not worry. Mindfulness is fine, but do not worry. Do not let those problems steal and rob you of your relationships with your children, your husbands, your wives, your mom, your dad. Don't let it steal your relationships. Don't let it steal your time. Don't let it steal your day. The present is a gift. Go out, open that gift up if you're blessed to do so when you wake up every morning, and live that gift, utilize that gift to the fullest. So until our next episode, kings and queens, keep growing, keep loving, and living your sage life.